just want to share what the Lord has given unto me, and I hope I'm able to give it in a way that's going to be clear. You know, I sometimes see the Word of God very simply. To me, it's maybe elementary on my level sometimes, and I just feel like the Lord just gives it to us. And this subject is not a deep subject. It's not an intensely profound subject, but I think it's very meaningful and very appropriate for us to keep in mind as we go forth in our lives. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses starting in verse 13. I would say many of us are very familiar with Noah. My children know Noah very well. But I think there's some things that we can learn about this story, if you will, or example of Noah and his life. And I'd like to look at it this morning. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." I think about these scriptures, and I think about what God is doing with Noah, and He's saying, you know, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. Now, I don't believe that Noah really understood what that meant at the time, of what God was really going to do, and maybe didn't really even understand all the significance as to why God was telling him to do what He was telling him to do. I look at how intricate God is in His instruction to us. And in Noah's case, He told him not only build a boat, Noah, but he gave him very specific instructions as to how to build the boat. I want you to use a certain type of wood. I want you to use certain materials to seal this boat up. I want this boat to have rooms in it. I want it to have multiple stories. I want this boat to have a window even. God has gone to great lengths in telling Noah exactly how to build this boat. And I think of this scenario, if you will, as an example to us of that boat being Noah's salvation. That boat was going to save Noah. Did Noah know exactly what that boat was going to save him from? I don't think he did. He didn't have the full capacity or understanding of what that salvation really meant. All he knew that God had told him to build a boat. Now, Noah could have disregarded God's instructions and decided, you know, okay, God wants me to build a boat. And so he gets him a tree and he cuts it down and he starts willing on it and makes himself a canoe. Would a canoe have saved Noah? We can do things our own way, or we can go about our own paths, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to bring about salvation. You know, a lot of times I think people believe that salvation is really just delivering us out of hell. But I think salvation is much more than that. Salvation is right now. God saving us in the circumstances of our life right now. And us being willing to follow Him and to give heed and to His instructions and His advice, if you will, or it's not just an advice, it's a command. But what I've been really meditating on and really thinking about is this ark wasn't just His salvation. Well, it was His salvation, but it wasn't just a deliverance from the flood. It was salvation in every part of His life. And it began not just in Him building the boat, but it began in Him doing the will of God. And so for me, I believe what God is telling me is that my salvation or my success in life or my prosperity in life and whatever it is that I'm facing in a daily basis, whatever it is in my family or in my job or whatever I face in my life, if it's going to be successful and I'm going to find deliverance or freedom or salvation, it's going to be through the will of God. And so Noah, God tells him, build a boat, build an ark. I want it to be specifically this size. I want it to be a certain length, a certain width, a certain height. And what I love about this story is in verse 22, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah did the will of God. And by doing that, he was in the very center of God's will, which is, to me, the safest place that you could ever be, is right there in the middle of God's will. What is God's will? I've had a study in the past of God's will and what it is, and there is a very clear will of God that we have in the Scriptures. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou... We had our Sunday school lesson today and how clearly God tells us how we ought to interact with one another and how we ought to conduct ourselves in certain situations of buying or purchasing, being truthful and honest and not willing to cheat or steal someone from someone else. These things are clearly spoken through God's Word about His will in these different areas of our lives. But you know, there's also areas of our lives that is God's will for you and God's will for me. And it's not necessarily the same. What God desires for you may not quite be what He's desiring for me as far as what He would have you do. An example would be you can work a job in a certain place or a certain circumstance or in a certain city that maybe God doesn't want me to do that. Maybe God wants me somewhere else. Maybe He doesn't want me in that particular type of job. It's fine for you to be in it, but yet God is saying that He doesn't want me in it, because His will for me in that circumstance or in that situation is slightly different than His will for you. But I think for both of us to have success in our lives is for each of us to be in the will of God right where we're at. I was thinking about the will of God being similar to a hurricane. If you've ever heard about a hurricane, they say that the safest place to be in a hurricane would be right in the middle of the eye. It's like chaos all around, but in the eye, it's like calm and peaceful and beautiful. And I really believe that to be the same with us in our salvation or in our walk with Christ, that the very safest place to be, the most beautiful place, the most peaceful place to ever be in our lives with God is right in the middle of His will. I don't know if you all are know about me or are familiar with my past, but there's been some rough areas in my past, so to speak, and some very difficult decisions that I've had to make going through my life in maintaining my faith in God and my willingness to follow Him no matter what and His will for me and a declarated will for me that I knew that God wanted me to do a certain thing or to act a certain way or to follow a certain path in life. And it wasn't always easy to do that. Oftentimes it seemed like to do the will of God was the worst thing that I could possibly do, because it seemed like the circumstances were just going to make it even worse. If I did what God told me to do, an example, the three Hebrew boys, I can imagine them thinking that if we do what God tells us to do, we're going to end up in the furnace. And it seemed like the worst possible thing that could happen. We can just bow down to the idol and we'll save our lives. But are you really saved? You saved your life, but are you really delivered? And so there's situations and circumstances in my life that were pressure points. What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? How am I going to go forward in this? I know what the will of God is. And it seems like it's going to bring about more havoc in my life than if I was to just do another way. I can imagine maybe Noah thinking, you know, it would be much easier to build a canoe. I could do that much faster, and then I can relax until the flood comes. But it wasn't going to bring about salvation. It wasn't going to deliver him when the trial or the situation came where he needed that ark. And so I got to a situation where, and this has happened many times, where it just felt like I was up against it, dire situation, if you will. And you know where my peace was at? I gained peace by knowing that I'm in the will of God. And, you know, I imagine those three Hebrew boys saying, you know, yes, our God can deliver us. Yes, He's able. But even if He doesn't, be it known unto you that we will not bow down to your idol. We will not serve your gods. We are going to worship the Lord God, and Him only shall we serve. And the power that they gained from that, in knowing that at least they were doing what God wanted them to do, at least they were within the will of God. And I used to get that impression in my mind that I don't care what they say, I don't care what they plan to do or what they're threatening to do, the best place for me to be is right in the middle of God's will. That's where salvation lies. You go about your own way or your own path, and you're subject to the elements around you. I think about another analogy that's often given in the scriptures about a hedge about us. You know, the devil said that God had put a hedge about Job. Yeah, he serves you. Yeah, he worships you. You got a hedge about him. He's protected. And I think about that. Job was protected. He was in the midst of the hedge because he was in the will of God in his life. He served the Lord. He walked in the ways of God. He did what the Lord had commanded him to do. And that was his lifestyle. That was his character. That's who he was. And that was where his safe place was at. And that's where our safe place is going to be too. Yes, the world may get chaotic around us. They may start doing things and putting pressure on us that we've never experienced before. But I'll tell you, the safest place, the most peaceful place you could ever be, is knowing that you're in the will of God and that your position is right. Amen. that you're standing on the truth, you're standing on the rock of Christ, and no matter what might come against you, you gain strength from that. You gain confidence in it, that I know I'm in the will of God. And if I'm in God's will, then I know that I have the backing of God or the support of the Lord in this situation, in this circumstance, and so I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be concerned. Psalms 91. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think about this this scripture, and what almost comes to mind is pouring rain outside, and I got an umbrella, and that umbrella will protect me from being wet. But as soon as I get outside of that umbrella, I'm going to be soaked. And so abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, or abiding under God's presence, it might be a narrow path. You know, those umbrellas aren't very big. You know, I'm not going to walk around with a big tent, you know, that I'm carrying around, but it's a one-person deal. I mean, you might be able to get two cozy people under there, and both of you stay pretty dry. But it's a narrow path. It's a narrow way. Being right there in the midst of God's will is our protection or our overshadowing. That's where God wants us. Wide is the path and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go therein. Or go, how does it say? Many follow therein, or something like that. Yeah. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, we can look at that, and oftentimes we can look at God's will for our lives as being like His thumb over us. You know, oh, He's just exercising His power, or He's just a bully that says that I have to do what He wants me to do. And I really think that that is a misconception, a misperception of God, that He's a bully or I don't know, an egocentric being that just wants to exercise His power and put us under His feet. And I really believe that when God gives us instructions, and He's given us direction in our life, and He's given His will for our lives, I really believe that it's not about how can I control them. You know, how can I, how can I make them squirm? You know what I mean? Like a kid that's putting fire on ants, you know, just see, watch them squirm around. Or God's not doing that with us. That's not what He's doing. His commands or His will for us isn't Him just trying to manipulate us or to see how we're going to react. God's will really is the best thing for us. It's where we're going to thrive. I was talking about myself and some of the things that I've faced in my life and made a lot of bad decisions growing up. I mean, made a lot of very, very bad decisions that had great or horrific effects. And I got to a place where the Lord allowed me to see the errors of my ways. By the grace of God, He opened my eyes and helped me to see my condition, the sin of my heart, and what I had become, and the despicableness of it. And he helped me to see the path that I had taken was a corrupt path of destruction. And I was reaping the fruit of that path. And I could say that the path I chose was my path. I did my own thing. I made my own decisions. I walked my own path thinking that I knew best. I knew what's the best thing for my life. And I'm gonna do what I want to do. And I did that. And as I said, I reaped the fruit of that. And it was a bitter fruit. And so when the Lord delivered me from that and saved my soul and gave me a new lease on life, if you will, or new creation, He gave me His will and His purpose, and He showed me the right things, the right way to be, how we ought to live. And I was ready to absorb that in and take that in and to follow that path. And I got to where I had to know what God's will was on things. Because of the decision that I had made and the mistakes I had made, I was very worried and very concerned about doing anything without knowing what God would say or what God would have me do. Because I knew that the results of my own decision, the results of my own path, brought heartache and pain and misery. And it wasn't successful. It might look like success on the outside, but success is more than just what you see. Success is within. And sometimes we might have to sacrifice some things that we see in order to get a greater success of something that's within. And so that's why God doesn't deal with us all the same. That's why His purpose and His will for us isn't always the same, because what you need maybe is different than what I really need. And the Lord knows how to meet each one of our needs. I was thinking about this subject and how we don't always know what God is saving us from. But are we willing to trust Him and to follow His will, no matter what we think or what we might imagine? And a simple example that the Lord gave me is my children are at a point right now, or at least one of them for sure, where He's always asking me why about everything. He's only 3, he's almost 4. But I tell him something that I want him to do or I don't want him to do, and he says, why? Well, there's been a couple times, I mean, you say, okay, that's a good question, why, you know? But there's a couple times where he asked me that, why? And it's like, I could tell you why, but it's a very long story. And you're not really going to comprehend it. Your mind's not developed enough. You know, you're not going to understand these concepts that I'm trying to teach you. And so the easiest thing for you to do is just to follow my will. I'm putting you in a safe place. I'm keeping you safe. I'm protecting you. That is my job. That is my desire, is to protect my children. And that is the same with God. His desire is to protect us, to keep us safe, to bless us, to put us in situations that are going to flourish us spiritually and physically and everything. God wants to bless our lives. But sometimes we just have to trust Him. Because the same is true as that young child that's not really going to comprehend all of the reasons and the cause and effect of things and the long story as to why this particular thing is something you ought not to be doing. God has things that He knows about and He's aware of that we have no idea about. just like Noah didn't have a clue really what God was saving him from. He just knew the Lord. And he had a faith in God that God was good and had a desire to bless him. And he followed the will of God to the T and did exactly what God had told him to do. He just followed, you might say in a blind way, but it really wasn't blind because he followed him in faith. And he knew God and believed in God and believed that what God was asking him to do was the best possible thing that he could ever do. And so I said, this is a subject that's very important to me right now because it's something that I feel is very close to my heart because I always want to know what God's will is for me because I know that that is the place that I'm going to be blessed. That is the place that I'm going to prosper. That is where I'm going to be exactly where I ought to be, when I ought to be there. And so it's crying out to God, Lord, what should I do? How should I go about this? It's just intensely important to know God's will. And it's a situation for me where it's almost a fear of me doing my own will. Because I know what my will does. And I know what my decisions and my thoughts and the wisdom that I have is so limited that I don't want to end up in a place where I ought not to be. And so I think of our young people that sometimes think that this is all about rules. But it's much more than that. Don't really understand or comprehend what God is trying to save them from. It's not just about trying to deliver them or save them out of a fiery furnace or hell, if you will. But sometimes that salvation is right there where they're at. It's going to deliver them from snares of the devil that seeks to capture them and overtake them. And the same is true of us. Let's go to 1 Kings. Another very familiar story. First Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 10. Oh wait, this is not 1 Kings. Maybe it's 2 Kings. Sorry about that. 2 Kings chapter 5. So here's the story of Naaman. He's got leprosy. A servant girl that's from Judah or from Israel says, oh, if he were in Israel, the prophet would heal him. And so Naaman's like, okay, I'm going. He goes to Israel, and through process of time, he ends up before the prophet Elisha. And this is what Elisha does. Naaman, a very powerful man, captain of the Syrian army, very notable. And Elisha, in verse 10, sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So I look at this as a very simple, the will of God, okay? Like I said, Naaman wants to be clean. He wants to be healed. He wants to be delivered from this leprosy that's eating his flesh away. Leprosy often being described as a like sin, if you will. A type of sin. Thank you. And so here, Naaman has this. He's coming before the man of God wanting it to be delivered or wanting it to be cleansed. And Elisha simply tells him, go dip in Jordan 7 times. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman's will was getting in his way. Naaman's wisdom or understanding or intellect, if you will. He's reasoning, saying, aren't these other rivers better than Jordan? He's essentially saying that these commands or these instructions are ridiculous. Why would I go to Jordan? You can even take it further and think, well, why does it have to be seven times? Why can't I just get in there one time and come out and be clean? You know, you can get into a big thought process about all the things of why it shouldn't be or why it should be this. And verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Simply followed the will of God. He did simply according to what the Word of God had said. It didn't matter that it seemed strange. The command came in a strange way. Why would he send a servant and not himself? Why wouldn't he pray over me? But just simply do what God has said. And that's where his healing lied. I'll tell you that if he had walked away and not done the seven times in Jordan, he would not be healed. His salvation or his deliverance in this case or his healing was in the will of God to do things according to the way God has said. Another similar example is in 2 Kings 3, verse 16. The background of this story is that there was an enemy that was coming against them, and they were outnumbered or outmanned, if you will. And this was a simple instruction that God gave them to do. They were thirsty, they were without water. And so he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. So basically, just go out there and dig a bunch of holes. And that's how I'm going to deliver you from this enemy. We can look at that and think that that's a ridiculous thing. Why? How is that going to help us to go out and dig a bunch of holes? But if you read further, you would find out that the Lord not only used it to give them water to drink, but he also used it for the enemy to see it and to have fear in their heart, and they ran. And so he delivered them as a result of simply them digging a bunch of ditches. You know, I think of the time when Jesus was teaching in the boat. And he tells Peter, okay, go back out for a drought. And Peter's like, Lord, we fished all day and caught nothing. Who is the fisherman in that sense? I mean, Peter, you know, he could say, you know, I'm a professional fisherman. This is what I do for a living. We were out there all day. But instead he says, okay, Lord, you know, at your word, I'll go ahead and do it, you know. And they caught so many fish that their boats, I believe his boat couldn't hardly handle it, and he had to ask for help from his partners to come and help him. How many fish do you think he'd have caught if he hadn't cast out? His blessing was being in the will of God. His blessing was doing what God had asked him to do. I think of the other time when the disciples were on the beach and Jesus was on the shore and he asked them, have you caught anything? And they're like, no. Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat. As if the other side of the boat was in, you know, a completely far away, distant place that there was fish at. The boat is right there. If it's on this side, you would think it'd be on the other side too. But immediately they did what God had asked them to do. And their nets were full. Oh Lord, may the Lord help us to do His will. We can get caught up in different ideas of different individuals and what wisdom tells us and what makes sense to us. But the bottom line is that we need to hear from God. Because that is really where our salvation lies. That is where the blessing lies. That is where our success lies. I know that as long as I'm doing what the will of the Lord says do, that I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be concerned about what the circumstances might develop into or what the results might be. I'm safe in the will of God. And that's where I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life in my will anymore. I don't want to do things according to what I think is best anymore. I want to hear from God. And I want to do what He wants me to do. In all aspects of my life, we could say, well, you know what, the Lord, I'll get His advice or His instruction on the big stuff, you know. All these little things, I'll take care of those decisions myself. But how do we know what is a big thing or a little thing? I think of the ark that Noah built. What was the significance of that window? Why put a window in it? It might seem like a small thing, but maybe it was a very big thing to God. And maybe it was a very significant thing that it be in there. And so those things that maybe seem small to us or insignificant to us might be very big when it comes to the whole grand scheme of things. It may be very big when it comes to our souls and the souls of our children or our families. And so may the Lord help us to see His will and His desire as being the most appropriate thing for us. Not because He's putting a thumb on us, but because it really is the best thing for us. I want to be in the will of God, and so I pray that you all would pray for me that I would do that and hear from God and get His will for my life.